So Psyche has a field. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing this work, and the more that I do it, and the more, you know, advanced levels of this, I'm tapping right into the Psyche field. Mm. So when you're kind of in that state, your intuition gets so turned on.
Hello and welcome to Self Talk. I'm Rachel Astarte. Today I have as my guest Laura Gavanter. She is a Psych-K facilitator, which we will talk about in a moment. She's an intuitive alignment coach and pendulum healing practitioner. Her intuitive abilities, along with a fascination in human potential, neurobiology, and quantum physics, as well as a desire to impact others' lives, led her to pursue life coaching and then combine it with this highly effective modality of Psych-K. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you. So happy to be here, Rachel.
And nice to have you. So let's jump in. Talk to us about what Psych-K is.
Okay. So Psych-K, and it's spelled, for those who don't know, it's P-S-Y-C-H-K. So psych as in the psyche, and it stands for key to the psyche. Mm. And the reason it's called that is because it's a way to communicate directly with the subconscious mind. Mm. And what's really valuable and what's so wonderful about this practice is that you can actually get information. It's a give and take. So you can find out what's actually stored in your subconscious mind, mm-hmm. and you can also transform that. So if you discover through this process that there's something in there that's not working for you, it's a modality to shift that. So it's incredibly empowering. Mm-hmm. So the way it's done, just to give some, because people are probably thinking, what is she talking about? You know, how do you communicate directly with the subconscious? It's all done through muscle testing.
Oh, wow.
It's the same part of the brain that controls the muscles. Mm-hmm. Is this the subconscious? So what happens is that if you present, just say it's a statement, a belief that you would like to be true for you. Like I keep thinking of choosing the same ones over and over again, is because the issues people have are usually money, career, relationships, the same ones. But if someone could say, wants to know, I am a successful entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and they're not there, but they would like to that belief to be true for them. We can muscle test that belief and see if the subconscious is on board. Mm. So what happens is that if it's not true for you, it's going to cause stress in the body and the muscle will go weak.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If it is true for you, it's going to test strong. We can just move on to the next subject or the next belief. Mm-hmm. It also can be used to see if a thought or an idea of something causes stress.
Wow.
Okay. Meaning, if you want to go and do something, say somebody wants to get up on stage and do public speaking and it's something that they really want to do and they can't do it. They're find excuses not to, or whenever they attempt to do it, something else happens and they don't, but they would really like to do it. Mm-hmm. So we would test and see, okay, is there stress around this situation? Again, we muscle test. I have the person think about being up on stage, giving a presentation, while they're in that feeling state, we muscle test. Mm-hmm. If it causes stress in the body, again, the muscles will go weak. Mm-hmm. We can then transform the perception of that situation to remove the stress from it. So then when they think about being up on stage and speaking, they're in a state of peace or calm, or even neutrality. Even being in a neutral state is better than, as you know, than being in one that's causes stress.
Right, right. So, and I'm familiar with muscle testing, but for those who don't understand, how do you test a muscle?
Well, so it's different whether if I'm working with someone in person versus doing remote sessions. And that's the beautiful thing about this work is that in the advanced levels of the training, you learn to work with people remotely, mm-hmm. and that I do by muscle testing on myself for the client. And that's a whole other conversation we can get into and as to how that works. Yeah. So when we muscle test, the first thing I do, and there's a protocol that there's maybe 6 or 7 steps. And we first ask some questions to make contact with the subconscious, to know that we've established communication. I ask you a yes or no question. I ask you a true false question. I ask you a preference question. Mm-hmm. Once we're getting the responses and the client can see yes, no, yes, no. They can see what a strong response feels like versus a weak response. We say, okay, great. We have communication with the subconscious. Now we can go and we can ask, again, a belief statement. I am a millionaire. And it's literally putting out the person's arm, the statement, and I muscle test. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing through the protocol. Right. There's something really, really important that I should mention about this, because it's kind of unusual in that they consider this a do with process versus a do to process. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a do to process would be something like hypnosis, where the hypnotherapist is doing it to you and you pretty much, you can resist it, but you're not really involved in the process. Mm-hmm. With Psyche, which is very specifically why we're called facilitators, is that I am facilitating a session. I am creating a space for this work to be done. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm not doing it to you, which right. means that for every single, they're called balances, the session. Okay. So they're called balances. It's very interesting. And there's a reason why, which I'll explain. For every balance we do, we have to check in with your superconscious. We have to get permission, basically. Right. It's right. safe and appropriate to do this.
Right.
If we don't get permission, we don't do it at this time. And it could be that this is not the best time to do it. It could be that something else needs to be balanced first. Mm-hmm. It could be a number of reasons why. It almost doesn't matter. Usually my intuition will tell me, oh, check this first. Let's go. This needs to be balanced first. Then we can go back and deal with this. So what basically that means is that if there's an underlying issue, mm-hmm. that it's still going to stand in the way, you balancing this at this time is not in your best interest.
Right.
So I think it's a wonderful part of this process that the person's really being empowered, because your higher self, which knows what's best for you, is going to basically steer the session.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so funny how the conscious mind would perhaps override that higher self. And the higher self always runs the show, but often will be like, all right, I'll let you figure this out for yourself. You know what I mean?
Oh,
when you
absolutely.
Keep banging up against the wall and yeah. Yeah.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. So how would you work with someone, let's say I'm a successful entrepreneur and it muscle tests as a no, okay. Where might you begin? I'm sure it depends on the person you're working with, but what's a general.
I guess I kind of left out the process, the part of the process we actually facilitate the change. Okay. So if someone had the statement, I'm a successful entrepreneur, but they're not, and therefore their subconscious doesn't believe it because there's been no evidence or there's been nothing in the past that's giving it that information. So once it is safe and appropriate to balance for this goal now, okay, if we get yes, great. We're going to go and we're going to do the balance. What it is that we're going into a whole brain state, which means the right and left hemispheres of the brain are in sync and they're communicating with each other, mm-hmm. which means you're getting the full access to the capabilities of the right and left hemisphere.
Okay.
Once you're in that state, which is a very, very peaceful state to be in, mm-hmm. it's less resistant to new information coming in. Okay. Right. There's a couple of different ways we go into the whole brain state. And I actually ask the subconscious which one it wants. So it's running the show. Mm-hmm. Does it want this balance? Test it. Does it want this one? Does it want this one? Mm-hmm. It tells us which one it wants. It's kind of mind blowing when you actually, when you're learning this and you go through and you're like, whoa, mm-hmm. like you're getting so much information back and forth. So there's a couple of different ways how you get into the whole brain state, but there's one where basically you're crossing over and we muscle test pretty much the preference because mm-hmm. it's going to tell us. So you're crossing your wrists, you're crossing your ankles. We muscle test the preference. That's one way. There's another way where there's a whole protocol when your arms are out and they come together and you're kind of integrating. So mm-hmm. it's, you're actually physically moving the body. You're crossing the meridian lines of the body. So that's when you're actually shifting the energy. Once you're in this whole brain state. So there's would be two different ways for a goal statement, like to continue with your, I'm a successful entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. We basically want to rewrite the programming. So if you can look at the subconscious as a computer, it's been programmed from early childhood. From say birth, or some say even before birth, from birth till about 7 years old, you're in program mode, which means you're in this very meditative theta state where you're just absorbing. You're like a sponge. You're absorbing everything around you. So what we're basically doing is whether there's a belief that you're not good enough to be a successful entrepreneur, or it was just never programmed that you are one, we're now going to put that statement in as truth for you. Okay. So you're in this whole brain state. I have you close your eyes and repeat over and over again, I am a successful entrepreneur. And while you're saying it, and I tell people to say it like a mantra, just say it over and over again and feel that you are the successful entrepreneur. So it takes a few minutes. It could take anywhere from a minute to 10 minutes. Like, it depends on the person. I mean, but that's how quick it is.
Wow.
Some people that do it a while, you know, like they're like this, okay, I'm done. What if I'm working with someone in person and they're sitting in this, I say, stay with this, repeat it until you feel some sort of shift in your body. Mm. Now, it's different from everyone. I'm get very kinesthetic. So I usually feel energy moving. Other people get visions. Some people hear things.
Right.
Some people just say, okay, it's time, I'm done. So they're telling me when they feel some sort of a shift, and it could be something really profound, or it could be like, oh, I just feel calm. Okay. Yeah. So now what we do, and this is where the fun part is now we post muscle test. This balance is complete. We test. Your subconscious is telling us yes or no. Then we now post test the statement, I'm a successful entrepreneur, and it tests strong. Most of the time, I would say it's very rare that we post test and it's not testing strong. If it doesn't test too strong, they didn't stay in the whole brain state long enough. Usually that's what it is. Right. And we can go back and I say, okay, you know, and then we post test again. So it's always, it's a give and take. We're putting new information in, and yet it's telling us, yeah, I got it. Got it. It's good. And then we always celebrate because we want the subconscious to know that it's a good thing that it just made this change.
Yeah.
And then the last part of that for a new goal statement is the person would commit to taking an action. And there's a couple of reasons for this. One is to get the conscious part of the brain on board with now what's in the subconscious.
Right.
And also, how are you going to know there's been any shift if you don't actually take an action and do something? You can't say I'm a successful entrepreneur and then sit on your couch.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a couple of reasons for that. But what usually happens is that it's much easier now to take action because the resistance is gone.
And that's, I think, what the key thing is, which leads me to something that you had mentioned before we started the interview, when we were discussing, through emails, the idea of how our subconscious mind really does run our life most of the time. And with this process, I can see how the subconscious can get on board. I mean, I was trained as a hypnotherapist and we talked about that for a second, but, and it is that you really are changing the programming of the mind. And so the question is, as a facilitator, how much of this is the practicality of the muscle testing and the protocol that you use? How often do you find your own intuition coming in to work and at play when you're working with someone? How often is there an interplay between your higher self and theirs?
That's such a fabulous question. I'm so glad you asked that because first of all, I was always very, very intuitive. I mean, you said it in my bio. It's from a very, very young age. I had a knowing. I had just, I knew things very well. This work has made my intuition so much more powerful. And the thing is, like, they say, so here's the deal, how Psyche really works is that you're tapping into the field. For people that don't know, that's kind of like that's the energy that's in the space between everything. Okay.
Yep.
It's kind of, you think about electricity, you think of Wi-Fi. This is all the field. So Psyche has a field. So when I'm doing this work, and the more that I do it, and the more, advanced levels of this, I'm tapping right into the Psyche field. So when you're kind of in that state, your intuition gets so turned on that, I really believe it's really important in this work, because the creation of the goal statement is very, very, semantics are very, very important with this, because you change one word, you change the meaning. Mm-hmm. So meaning is everything here. So when I'm working with someone, and sometimes people can't articulate very well what it is they want. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of know what they don't want, or they know the situation. So as we're kind of talking, I'll get words. Okay, I got something. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Even though it really needs to come from them, and they have to light up. Mm-hmm. Like I'll say something like, okay, I'm just going to throw it out. This came to me. And if they say, yeah, that's it. I know I've hit it.
Right.
If it's kind of like, okay, we got to do some more work. Mm-hmm. So it's this play back and forth of, okay, this is what they're, you know, and I just get, I almost feel like I'm like a vessel, because I don't take any credit for this. To me, I'm the vessel. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, whoa, it's just coming right through me.
Yeah.
So intuition is a big part of this. And when I'm doing remote sessions, which I didn't get into how that works, is that I actually get permission to surrogate for you, to muscle test for you. Mm-hmm. So again, we're asking your superconscious, it is safe and appropriate for me to be the surrogate for you, and vice versa. When we get permission and I muscle test my name will be weak. And if I muscle test Rachel, it'll be strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
Okay. So now I'm muscle testing on your behalf. Mm-hmm. So then it's, I'm really kind of, even though we're still connected energetically, I'm really relying on my intuition in terms of, you know, okay, when the balance is done, you're like, okay, well, this is, you know, and then I get feedback, you know, from you, like, what did you experience and so forth. Mm-hmm. But yeah, intuition's a big part of this.
Yeah. Do you find, or I mean, maybe you do, maybe you don't, do you find that the people that you're working with, that their intuition begins to kick in a little bit during a session?
Depends on the individual. I have people that are, usually it's the people that I work with are a little bit more, they're more tuned in, they're more spiritual, they're more kind of open, because this is not a traditional modality by any means.
No.
The interesting thing about it is that it's been around since the 1980s, but I think it was before its time. I don't think people were really ready for this. Mm-hmm. And there was one guy who was teaching it, and you know, and now there's 40 instructors around the world, which are not a lot, because it's very, 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 there's a very stringent protocol that you, in order to be an instructor, because they hold this process to be very sacred. It's based on old, ancient modalities combined with modern science, because all of this is backed in science. So they combine the two together and they consider it a very sacred process. So they can't have people going out there saying, oh, I'm just going to change this. It's like, no, we have to use the wording, right? That's given to us. This is the wording we need to use. Mm-hmm. So they actually describe it as a spiritual process with psychological benefits.
Mm. Wow.
So yeah, some people are more kind of, you know, tuned into the spiritual aspect. Some people are just like, hey, if it helps, trust me, I don't care how it works.
Right.
So some people are very intuitive, and they're really, really fun to work with, because they, you know, they kind of just get it, and it's one thing. And then other people, it's not necessary. And, you know, I step in where they may not have that level of intuition.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come to Psyche? So first of all, you said you knew from a very young age that you were very intuitive, and you could pick up things, you know, probably reading people and energy around you. When you're a kid, you think that's normal. Probably everyone can do that. Everyone can, but sometimes it gets clouded, you know. But so as you were moving through your life, how did you get to find this modality and find it a home in it?
Well, it's really interesting, because while I was aware of this at a young age, I knew not everybody had this, because there were things that were way beyond my years. I just kind of understood things, or I knew things with such conviction. Like, I don't know how I know this, but I know it. Mm-hmm. I was always fascinated with human behavior. I read Psycho-Cybernetics when I was 13 years old. I mean, I was not a normal kid.
Very interested
in psychology, but I always knew I didn't want to be a therapist. I just, for some reason, I'm like, that's not it. That's not for me.
Right.
So there weren't many options then. Mm-hmm. So I kind of put it on the side. I was always interested. I was always reading about it. I always had really good natural insight into people. And like you said, reading people, but I had a whole other career. For 15 years, I did marketing and product development in the beauty industry. I mean, completely different. Just, this is what you do. You go get a job. And the next thing you know, you have a career.
Right.
And I got to the point where I was living in California and I started hearing about life coaching and I said, that resonates with me. I like that. So I went ahead and I did my life coach training. And then I decided to specialize in law of attraction because to me, the energy, working with energy was something that always appealed to me. And, you know, law of attraction is basically minding your energy, right? To either attract what you want, you know, it's playing with energy. Mm-hmm. So that was really exciting, but I found, you know, and people had a lot of success with that, with just coaching alone. But I wanted a modality that's not going to be so reliant on the person. You know, we get off our call and then they go and they have to go do all the work. To me, it's almost, they have to rely on them picking up the ball afterwards and doing it. I'm like, no, I really would love a modality that I could really assist people with. Like if we could jumpstart this, then that would be really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And what really kind of, you know, had me pull the trigger and do the Psyche training, because I had heard about it from years ago, didn't know much about it, but I heard about it. I mentioned to you that I used to have a podcast, and one of the people that I was fortunate enough to interview was Dr. Bruce Lipton, who happens to be very, very close with the founder of Psyche. And he spoke about it in terms of his own success. And when I was interviewing him, and he mentioned Psyche, as he talks about it a lot. And for those who don't know, he's one of the world's prominent neuroscientists, and he wrote The Biology of Belief. And I said, wait a minute, here is someone I have so much respect for, who's a scientist, who's singing the accolades for Psyche. I'm like, I got to go check it out. And I have to tell you, the first day of my first training, I said, I found my thing.
Oh, I found it.
Like when something resonates, and then I just went on from there. And once I did the basic training, I said, okay, I got to go to the next thing. I did the advanced. And then what really, really changed everything was doing the health and wellness, which I'm able to work with people with illness, with allergies, with, I mean, you can find out messages in the body with an illness. There's nearly no limit to what you can do with it.
Yeah.
So, it's just changed everything. And that combined with the coaching is just, it's just phenomenal. You know,
it's
the
coaching, powerful.
They help each other. So the Psyche helps the coaching because now we're able to, instead of like discussing what the beliefs are and all that, we can just find out. Let's find out if you have limiting beliefs about this.
Let's just test it. Yeah.
And then the coaching helps people once we do some Psyche work, the coaching now helps them now continue with it and to keep moving and to actually achieve what they want to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds almost like, this is going to sound terribly wrong, but almost like a medical model where it's like, your bone is broken, let's mend it. And then you go on your way, but you're actually mending. And this is getting to my next question, but you're mending a part of the psyche that's just not functioning properly, you know, that isn't just, it isn't believing what its potential is for whatever reason, whatever, you know, past traumas or stories that we tell ourselves and, you know, negative self-talk and that kind of thing that comes from past experiences that hold us back. But so I wondered if you might explain, I think this is from your website that you have this, there was a line, I think, from your website that stuck out for me, which was that you don't need to be fixed.
Mm.
And I wonder if you might talk a little bit, because that's something that I personally subscribe to in my practice, that there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You don't need to be fixed. So I wonder if you could elaborate on that thought.
Absolutely. So, you know, it was really interesting because I used to call myself a self-help junkie because their new book would come out, and this book, this is it. You know, comes in the mail, or you take it home and you can't wait to go through it because this is going to be the book that's going to change your life. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered is that what happens is that you just end up collecting information, right, and nothing changes. Right. Mm-hmm. And what's one thing, all these books and the self-help, and it's kind of ironic. I get the irony in that here I am saying self-help doesn't work, yet I would probably be classified in the self-help industry. So I do get the irony there. However, what so many of these books have in common is that there's something wrong that needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So mm-hmm. I'm this, I don't do that. Here, this is going to be the remedy that's going to fix you. So people walk around this mentality is that I'm not good enough, or I'm deficient, or if I just do this, then everything will be fine. And that is not true at all. You're actually perfect. Exactly the way you are. You're where you are based on your past decisions, mm-hmm. right? So I tell people, even with the law of attraction, all you are right now is just the sum of past decisions you make. Anytime you make a decision right now, you're changing your future. Mm-hmm. So that's all that is. It's just showing you what your past thought process, what your past decisions were. But nothing is bad, and nothing mm-hmm. is wrong.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with you. The thing is that there are people that may not be satisfied in an area of their life, and they want to improve it, mm-hmm. or they want to change it. And that's where the work that you and I both do mm-hmm. can help people facilitate that. But it's nothing about, oh, you know, you're broken, or you've had this thing happen to you when you're younger, therefore, okay, let's fix it and make it better. Mm-hmm. It's something that either needs to be healed, it needs to be released, it needs to be just looked at. One of the things that I didn't get into too much with this is that, so that, you know, there's limiting beliefs and there's stress triggers, but there's also trauma that's happened early in life that many times, you know, there's all these coping mechanisms. It gets stored away. It goes in your subconscious, remembers every single thing that's ever happened to you. Mm-hmm. Your conscious brain's like, I don't want to go there. That was too painful.
Right.
So what happens is that the subconscious will keep you from ever getting in that situation again because it's way too scary or way too painful. Mm-hmm. What happens is it's blocked energy in the body. And I'm sure you deal with this all the time with clients, is that, you know, they start manifesting chronic illness or pain, or, mm-hmm. you know, the body is screaming, talking to you, saying, listen, I know that thing happened to you and it wasn't very pleasant, but we got to talk. we got to deal with this.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that's really also really powerful with Psyche, is that we can actually go back into that situation in minutes. And it's not a long time. It's not like it's going to be a long visit that you're going to be afraid of. Go back and, you know, let's revisit this. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to look at it from a different lens. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at it from a whole brain state, mm-hmm. a relaxed, calm state. So you're actually, in a sense, rewriting your history around mm-hmm. this trauma. And now it just becomes an event that's happened to you in the past, but the emotion is now disconnected from it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So it's so difficult sometimes to deal with trauma and those memories, because there has to be an element of safety,
right,
and trust. That, you know, as you said, the subconscious is saying, no, I'm going to prevent you from going anywhere near that thing that is damaging. So as we're going deeper, and, you know, there's the goal of wanting to, you know, be able to ride in an airplane, you mm-hmm. know, instead of mm-hmm. having crippling phobia, you know, they want that. They could feel that. They could see that. They're sick of having this phobia. So then what do you do? You know, and obviously there are deeper things as well, you know, whether it's addiction or just I'm tired of kicking myself. I'm tired of having low self-esteem or whatever it is, but whatever is causing that, you know, the block is so strong. And in order to go, I call it entering the dragon's lair, mm-hmm. you know, when you're just outside of the cave and you can hear the rumbling. And he's like, you know what? Maybe not today. And so it's like you have to really build that trust and that safety up, and right. Because it really is the client who is, or the patient who is going to have to be the hero in this journey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, What's also really interesting about when you're shifting past trauma is that you may have the thought or a stress trigger, you know, there can be one and the same, because the thoughts, many times the thought around it is still habitual.
Right.
So what I've noticed, not only in my own life, and that's one of the beautiful things about Psyche, is that I can do it with myself. I can do balance with myself, which is really great. You'll find for a little while after that you may still have the thought, but there's no trigger in the body.
Right. It's diffused.
You may find, oh my God, who am I? Like, what? I'm not freaked out about money anymore. Like, and you start noticing this. Yeah. And then after a while, the thought just goes away because there's no need for it. But I've had people report back and they said, wow, I was able to get on an airplane. I was able to go in the water, like whatever it is. And it's just a non-issue. It's like that was been erased.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful really, really wonderful part about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's such a great modality. And, you know, there's a danger because in therapy, we say, well, there's no quick fix, you know, and sometimes at the same time, I say, well, you know, sometimes there is. It's really a matter of you deciding to think about something or feel something differently. And that's entirely within your power to do at any point, you know. So that's what makes this so fascinating. As we wind up here, I wonder, how do people get in touch with you? What's the way to speak with you?
My website, just lauragevanter.com, LAURAGEVANTER. I am on Facebook and Instagram, although those things these days are, it's just a little challenging, but anyway, yes, I am on Facebook and Instagram. If someone wants to know more about it, happy to chat and just see if it's, you know, if it's a good fit for them.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's, as you said, it's not a well-known modality. And so I think it's a really lovely, and rare if there are only 40 facilitators in the world.
No, there are 40 instructors.
Oh, 40 instructors. Okay.
There's probably, I don't know. They're all over the world. They do them all over the world. How many facilitators are? I don't know. They're in the hundreds at least.
But you know, 40 instructors who are available to teach others to teach.
Yeah. I just brought through that number out just to show you how they're very, very careful in terms of who is actually teaching the modality because of what they call the sacredness of it. They don't want, which is why if you go and look on YouTube, you will not see anyone showing the actual process.
Right.
Because what happens is that people pick it up and they sit in the thing and they think they got it. And it's like, no, it's not.
No.
It's experiential. You have to learn it in a physical workshop in person. Mm-hmm. So you were actually muscle testing.
I think that's a really good thing too, you know, to keep it pristine and keep the integrity of the process. Yeah, for sure. Well, Laura, thank you so much for being with us. And I'm going to make sure that your website is listed in the information that goes along with the podcast and so people can reach out. And I appreciate you being on Self-Talk.
Thank you so much, Rachel. This was so much fun. And as you can tell, I love talking about this. So. Yeah. I appreciate the offer.